In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. We remember on this fourth day of Pascha, of our continuing celebration of Christ's holy resurrection, the healing of the paralytic. And Christ's famous words, "Take up thy bed and walk." He who rose from the dead raised up the paralyzed man from a bed of death. As we sung last night at Vespers, the paralytic was like a dead man, though not buried. You see, when you attend Vespers, you get help for your sermons. But seriously, is there a worse state imaginable than that of the paralytic? Trapped in his own body, confined by his own flesh for 38 years. When we're young and healthy, we take our bodies for granted. We run and jump and push our physical self to its limits, sometimes in healthy exercise, but too often likewise in sin. And when illness or injury occurs, we are reminded of our limitations and appreciate our body's healthy state and capabilities. We have recently had some injuries and surgeries in our community that might rival any sports team. We remember today the righteous Job, whose sufferings in the flesh rivaled the paralytic. We hear Job cry out to God, "Thy hands have made and fashioned me together round about." A phrase, by the way, that we say at baptism when we anoint the hands of the candidate before they go into the water. But Job says, "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me from clay. Thou hast made me from clay. And thou hast clothed me with skin and fleshly and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews." So we are all fenced in. We're all fenced in by our bodies, by flesh, as God made us. St. Ambrose of Milan says, "Thus our soul is bound and tormented by the sinews of the body, and as a result, it hardens." When the body is too strong, the soul can harden. We may not think of our bodies that way. We may not think of our bodies as a tormentor of our soul, but our Christian faith asks us to look at our body in a different way than the worldly. The soul is wedded to the flesh, but as a result of our fallenness, it is a rocky, contentious marriage. St. Paul in Romans speaks of this inner contradiction. He says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am," says St. Paul, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He continues, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." St. Paul sounds as much a captive of his flesh as does the paralytic. And so it is with you and I, brothers and sisters. One of the most valuable resources of the Word of God is that after it teaches us about our Savior, explaining to us who is Jesus Christ, the Scripture then explains us to ourselves. It examines and explains our human nature. What's going on? What are the internal dynamics within us in our relationship with God in dealing with ourselves as we are made and indeed after the fall? And the dilemma of our human nature is that our human nature is broken by the fall. When we fall and injure ourselves physically, you know, the body is hurt and restricted, but the soul is not harmed. But when our forefathers, Adam and Eve, fell spiritually, the soul was injured and weakened, but the flesh was empowered and became out of control. That's why so much of Judaic law had to deal with fleshly sin, even as do many of the canons of the New Testament church. Thus St. Paul commands the Christians of Rome. He says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And he continues, "For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we can have a fleshly oriented mind, a fleshly oriented outlook, and indeed a fleshly dominated soul. St. Paul says, "Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is at enmity against God." The fleshly mind is fighting against God, is angry against God, is opposed to God. "For it is not subject to the law of God," he says, "neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans 8:7. He says, "But ye," talking to the Christians, "but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it be so that the Spirit of God dwells in you." So there's an if to that. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you're not captivated and controlled by the flesh and by fleshly interests exclusively. Again from Romans, he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The Word of God, the words of the great Apostle Paul. So this is why, brothers and sisters, why we have our Orthodox life, our orthopraxis, our practice of the Orthodox faith, our Orthodox program of fasting, controlling the flesh through the diet, through food, mortifying the flesh through fasting. This is why we do prostrations, to work the flesh in prayer before God rather than in sin. Why we do bodily gestures in prayer and stand through long services. Why we wear modest dress both in church and outside of church. The flesh, folly and unruly and rebellious, needs discipline. The flesh needs discipline. We're sick. Our flesh-body balance is off. Our flesh-spirit balance is off as a result of the fall, as a result of sin. And the carnal-minded will say to us, "No, we don't need to do all that. You don't need to do all that. God loves you. Everything's fine." It is because they either haven't read the Bible or they have read it and don't believe it. As one father said, "All the senses of the body fight against faith, since the senses bind man to the present world." The world's program is the opposite of orthodoxy. Instead of mortifying the flesh, the world's program is to build up the flesh, to keep us fascinated with the flesh, seeking new ways to indulge it. Does our faith then teach that the body is evil? No, it does not. It does not. We value the body so much, or rather God does. God values it so much that we believe He will raise us up on the last day. And as one father said, then we'll have a body that can ascend without the need of stairs. But until then, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The great saints of Gaza, Saints Barsanuphius and John, said that the body is not evil, but rather it is a tool. It's a tool of our spirit, of our soul, to be used for the building up of our life. He said, but at the same time, we must remember to care for the body as a tool of the soul, just as we care for the animals who serve us. When the tool is blunted, it hinders the artist, no matter how quick and skillful he may be. A man should keep to right judgment in all things so that he will not stumble. And in all things, so with the body, we must find the correct balance. There's that word, balance. The difficulty is not whether we will neglect the body, depriving it in an unreasonable and damaging way, but that we will take too good care of it. Therefore, do not give all of your care to the body. Give it work which matches its strength, and then turn all of your attention to what is within. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, 1 Timothy 4:8. The fathers continue, they say, for when the flesh outweighs the soul on the scales, when the body dominates our life, it tortures the soul and weighs it down with a burden, pushing it in the direction of improper and corrupt desires and impulses. As it is written, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, Galatians 5:17. But having disciplined the body by fasting, you should mortify it until, even though reluctantly, it becomes obedient to its ruler. As St. Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. St. Maximus the Confessor said, the majority of men whose souls lack good sense incline towards a short-lived kinship with their bodies. In other words, they give all their energy in life to take care of their bodies, thinking only of physical things, like dumb animals inflamed by lust. They cut themselves off from God by their own action and bring their souls down from heaven into the abyss of carnal desires. I'd like to mention an NFL quarterback some years back who was often injured. And they asked him, how do you do it? How do you keep playing with all these injuries you have? And he said, well, you just have to tell your body who's the boss. There it is, brothers and sisters. I mean, that's it from someone of the world. And in so many things, isn't it true? In life, we have to push ourselves to get up out of bed and go to work in the morning. We have to challenge ourselves. Soldiers on guard duty have to challenge themselves to stay up all night. Or in war, they have to march long ways and then go and fight after they're exhausted. Monks and nuns get up in the middle of the night to pray, go to matins at 2, 3 in the morning, do the services, challenging the flesh continually, telling the body who's the boss. Our spirit, our soul, the inward man, is called to be the boss of the flesh, the manager of the body. When things are reversed, we are just as much enslaved to the flesh as was the paralytic. We are paralyzed. Spiritually speaking, as the man couldn't move because his body was paralyzed, our spirit can't move when our body dominates the flesh. Our spirit is paralyzed, enslaved to the flesh, except we're the walking dead. As St. Paul said again, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. As one father said, those who overindulge the flesh will never want to be martyrs. Because they love their bodies more than God. They care too much for the flesh. How many of us are ready to be martyrs? We cherish our flesh so much. We're ready to give it all. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Word of God. This isn't some monastic spirituality from the desert. The Word of God calls us to fasting, to prayer, to struggle against the flesh, that the Spirit might live and breathe and be the ruler in its proper balance, in its proper way, so that we can unite ourselves to He who is pure spirit, He who is true and holy and right, He who took our flesh to raise our flesh up to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen!